Blog Talk Radio.
I have a thankful heart that you have given me, and it can only come from you.
There is no way you become so real, Jesus, you've given me so much I can't repay. I have no offering.
I have a thankful heart that you have given.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week we do Journey with Mary to some place in the world where she has made an appearance. Yeah, that's right. Virgin Mary coming to Earth and interacting with us. Crazy? Silly? Ridiculous? Nope. I might have thought so years ago, but when I started learning about these stories and hearing the facts about them, I began to realize that they were all painting a picture of incredible reality, not fantasy, not delusion, not hallucination, not fantasy, not wishes. No visionary has just openly said, I want to see the Virgin Mary and have her just show up. Oh, you can wish for it, but the odds are it's not going to happen because heaven picks who they're going to come to, and heaven decides who's going to be involved, even if they're not wanting to be. When Juan Diego in Mexico met the Virgin Mary and she asked things of him, he said, oh, just find somebody else. I don't think I'm the right person for you. And she goes, nope, you'll do. And so it goes. So it's not something that people have asked for and then receive these visits. It's something that just happens to people, just everyday people, out of the ordinary. They don't have to be saints. They don't have to even be going to church. And yet they may have experiences. Just like the three atheists in Venezuela who didn't even believe in the Virgin Mary, and then she appeared before all three of them at the same moment. Well, that changed their opinion. I mean, when you see something that you don't believe in, that kind of changes it. So she has a way of just showing up that makes a difference. So what we do on this show is we like to report these stories one a week and try to learn all we can from it, what the point of it was, why then, why there, and what messages or predictions or other benefits may have come from that appearance. There's usually some pretty good reason why she appears, and it always makes a difference in the area where she shows up. I mean, like in Mexico with Guadalupe, 9 million Indians converted to Catholicism because of that one incident. That's a pretty good impact. And just like in Medjugorje, over 50 million people a year go there because of the benefits and good fruits that they gain from such a trip, which our co-host Donald Hartley has done at least twice, and he knows what I'm talking about. But we like to take each story and get all that we can out of it while presenting the best facts and information to you. And tonight we'll be going to a place just 4 hours away from me in Missouri, United States. So, and it began in 2003, and it is still going on. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So if you've not heard of Marian apparitions or you're not really sure what to think, just stay tuned, stick with us, and you can always call in and ask questions too. But we like to give you the best information and let you decide what to do with it. We hope you're inspired. We hope it's educational, and we hope it might even change your life. It's amazing how much these stories can inspire a person. Often there's miracles, miraculous artifacts, incredible things that take place. So before we get started, of course, we'll welcome in our co-host, the founder of Deeper Truth Worldwide, Mr. Donald Hartley. How are you tonight, Donald?
Well, John, just listening to your monologue here, and I have to say something about Our Lady appearing. She appeared to Sister Lucia when she was a postulate sister in the Dorinthian convent at Thai, Spain. And on this occasion, Our Lady appeared together with the child Jesus, who spoke first to Lucia. This is what Jesus said, the child Jesus said. He said, "Have compassion on the heart of your most holy mother, covered with thorns, which ungrateful men place therein at every moment, while there is no one who does an act of reparation to withdraw them for her." And then Our Lady follows along, and she says to Lucia, "Behold, my daughter, my heart encircled with thorns, with which ungrateful men pierce it at every moment by their blasphemies and ingratitude. Give me consolation, you at least, and make known on my behalf that I promise to assist at the hour of death with the graces necessary for salvation all who on the first Saturday of 5 consecutive months confess their sins, receive Holy Communion, recite 5 decades of the rosary and keep me company for 15 minutes meditating on the mysteries of the rosary with the purpose of making reparation to my Immaculate Heart. And hence, John, that's why I led tonight's show with I Got a Thankful Heart. Oh, I think that is so important and so many times. In fact, the scriptures today, the gospel, you know, the 9 lepers, and Jesus sent them to a priest and they were healed, but only one came back to give thanks. And so I've encouraged people to go to Mass. Well, at Mass, where Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, divinity, at Mass, give thanks for the grace and the blessings you have received. And so that's just something. And because our Lord and our Lady refers to that ungrateful men pierce the heart of our Lady with thorns. And I tried to be. That's why I consider myself a thorn picker. I want to try to pluck them all out of her heart if I can. I don't want to be one of those ungrateful men. I got a grateful heart. And that's why I played that song to begin with. And along with us, we've got Mike from New Jersey. Hi, Mike. What's going on with you, man, tonight? How you doing?
Hello, Donald. Oh, we're looking forward to what we're going to learn tonight.
Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And we got Doc from Tennessee. Hey, Doc.
Hey, y'all. I want to say I'm grateful to be on. You all know I've been dealing with these health issues. And, you know, I just, you know, put it in God's hands. And, you know, lately I've been feeling a little more sprite and be able to get up better and getting around. So, you know, I can still wiggle my toes, and I'm getting along pretty good. So, you know, I praise God for that.
Outstanding. Right. And also, from the great state of Colorado, we've got Joseph. Hey, Joseph, how are you doing tonight, my brother?
Hey, Joseph.
Hello. How you doing, guys?
Very good.
Very good. Good. Yeah, I'm hanging in there. You know, yeah, it's a sad fact that God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, get asked, you know, asked for this, asked for that. But the thankfulness, obviously there's some, but I think people do forget to thank them, you know, and, you know, to praise them, you know, don't just ask him for things, you know, praise him for the day he gave you, no matter what, because that's what he allowed it to be, you know, and we have to thank him. We have to thank him.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, if Kathy makes it, she's just an hour or two away from this location that we're going to talk about. She's even closer than I am. I'm 4 hours away from Perryville, Missouri. That's right, Perryville, Missouri. And this all began in 2003. Still going on today. We'll tell you about how that happened. In the small town of Perryville on the eastern side of Missouri, about an hour south of St. Louis, something inspirational has been happening every month on the 13th since June of 2003. It began with a farmer and part-time construction worker named Neil. This humble, hardworking man in his late 40s came from a family of 11 children. He had 6 brothers and 4 sisters. Now, Neil has lived in Perryville all his life, attending all 12 years of Catholic school. He has 2 children from what he calls a failed godless marriage and 8 children from his present marriage of the past 17 years. So he's got 10 kids. His mother was a devoted Catholic who constantly reminded him, quote, "If you don't have God in your life, you have nothing," unquote. Well, that's a good one. In second grade, he wanted to become a priest and, quote, played mass, quote, in his basement by rolling out the bread to make the host and using a metallic shot glass of his father's for the chalice. But as he advanced into high school, he became distracted by sports, girls, parties, and activities with his friends. By his young adult years, he had strayed far from the church and is not proud of those days. And his mom kept reminding him that he did not have God in his life. Boy, did Mary spot him, right? By the way, a lot of this information came from a two-hour interview that I did with him in person. So I'm really getting it straight from his lips. Well, then things began to happen. In 1995, his brother showed him a fascinating picture that he had taken of a nun in a parking lot. And in the sun was the image of a miraculous medal. Neil thought that this was amazing. About 4 months later, the Catholic prayer book showed up on the seat of his truck. Thumbing through it one day, its prayers started triggering memories of his devoted days years ago as a young Catholic. So when he came to the Hail Mary, he had a vivid flashback to his first communion. He became overwhelmed, emotional, realizing how far he had strayed from his faith. At that moment, he began praying the rosary again on a regular basis. Then other things began happening. His mother's religious friends from her prayer circle, whom he had called the Holy Rollers, started running into him everywhere he went, often giving him a direct message or piece of information about prayer groups, parish missions, or religious presentations. So, on August 11th, 2000, that will stick in his memory forever. A friend of his became adamant and persistent about his attending a special presentation on Mary at another parish 12 miles away from his own, on the feast day of the Assumption. He had politely agreed to attend several times, knowing that he probably wouldn't, until his friend took his arm, looked him in the eyes, and insisted one last time. Neil felt God in his actions at that moment and sincerely agreed to attend. Much to his surprise, his wife easily agreed to attend the event with him at this distant parish. Well, strange things began happening to Neil as the anticipated event began. As the speaker began talking, Neil felt a force pressing him forward and his emotions building within until he could not hold back the tears any longer, fearing that he would disturb others around him. So when he looked up at the speaker, the church appeared smoke-filled, and he could only see the speaker and his wife. They both had halos over their heads, just like you see in pictures of the saints. The more the speaker talked about Mary, the brighter the halos became, until they were as bright as the sun. The light became a full image behind the speaker, and then the image of Mary in this bright light leaned her head forward for Neil to see for the first time in his life. She did not speak, but Neil said, quote, "She was dressed fully in white, enclosed like in the sun, bright as the sun, yet it didn't hurt your eyes to look at her. She did not say one word, yet everything became infused and known to me in that moment. Our Lady wants us to know that God is real, and he loves each and every one of you. He has mercy for each and every one of you. But we have to ask for his mercy. We also have to live our life according to God's will. We have to give ourselves to God. We cannot sit idle. We have to always present ourselves in a charitable, meek gentleness towards each other and even to those we don't even know. God wants others to see Christ in us. All right, I'm going to stop there for a minute. That's a very interesting beginning with the brilliant light and Mary appearing behind the speaker, and all else seems to fade away as Neil has this experience. Any reactions?
I think that is kind of very typical because God wants to take center stage, and by also he'll showcase his mother, his greatest creation. What do you think of that there, Michael?
Well, it's like you say, you know, many of the things that he did, he was interested in the Mass. That goes for me. I was interested in the Mass almost to that extent. And then in my ninth grade year, I was in the Catholic seminary, almost at cemetery, but it was, in a seminary to become a priest. And God was calling me to something else. I wound up in broadcasting, but you know, some of the things that happened to Neil also happened to me. And incidentally, my wife's funeral was held in a funeral home in the town we lived in. Their name was Neil.
Hmm. And now, Mike,
I can understand many of his experiences.
And now mm-hmm. you're with Deeper Truth. You're with Deeper Truth now. All right.
Yeah, that's come full circle.
And we've got Doc from Tennessee. What did you think of that so far, this little story so far?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm trying to put myself in this farmer's shoes. He's at church, at a service, talking about Mary, 12 miles away. So he's in this room full of strangers, and he looks up and he sees this apparition. Now, how did he react right then and there? Because he says she was all dressed in white, and he explains the apparition. But at the time, did he like, oh, my God, there's Mary? Or, I mean, what did he do? Did he? Because, you know, I mean, I'm hesitant to say it, but I have seen things at Mass. When I look up at the tabernacle, I've seen things that I know are not there. I'm not going to go into the details of them, but I've seen some pretty miraculous things. And I kind of keep them to myself because, you know, first off, I don't want to disturb the Mass, but second off, you know, I'm not the right guy, you know, but I wonder what did he do at the time when he first saw, what was his first reaction? That would be my question.
Okay. And since I heard him tell me this story, he indicated that he was stunned and mesmerized, almost in a trance, perhaps even in an ecstasy, because the rest, he said he couldn't see anyone else, and that's typical of visionaries, and he was kind of in a mesmerized state. He didn't know what to make of it. He was not sure what all he was seeing, but, you know, he's kind of put the pieces together to understand what he was seeing, but I think like most of us, we wouldn't know exactly what was going on or what to think of it, but
A follow-up on that would be, did the people around him realize that there was something going on with this guy?
No, not at all.
No,
yeah,
okay.
And that's typical, too. Yeah, I think he was in ecstasy.
But we see that in Scripture, too. We see that in the Scripture, too, where the Lord or an angel appears to somebody And that person that he is appearing to is the only one who sees the vision. But other people around it may have felt it, but did not see it or hear it. It's just for the person. We also got Joseph. Joseph from Colorado. What did you think of that there, Joseph?
You know, excuse me. It's amazing, and we shouldn't necessarily be amazed. We should know better that, you know, God, again, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Mary, you know, they want something to occur, and they want to affect. They want to affect a certain individual. It's going to happen. You know, I think a lot of people do have some visions at Mass. I've had multiple minor ones. You know, you see something, you kind of rub your eyes, and you let it go. But you know, hearing and then seeing Jesus in adoration that time was way different. That he certainly wanted me to start doing something, and here I am, you know, with pro-life. Obviously they have their ways, and they're going to affect people's hearts, and hopefully that expands to the masses. That's obviously the goal with most of these things. And I think, you know, a lot of people are afraid to say yes. I think people have had some, probably have had some other major ones, again, you know, all the above, and Mary, and said, you know, no, or, you know, wouldn't acknowledge that it was real, or were scared, or, I mean, you know, and, you know, it's human nature, but still, they, you know, they make things happen, you know, if it's an important goal to them, they will make it happen.
All right. Well, the rest of what she said to Neil that day was this. I think, Doc, you'll probably like this. She said, quote, "Saint Joseph was obedient in every way to God. The Blessed Mother wants you to know that Joseph is the role model for men. Wives, yep. Be submissive to your husbands in all things. Husbands, love your wives as Jesus loved the church. God flourishes in such a marriage. The man must bring the church into the home. Honor and respect help keep a balance, along with including God in the marriage," unquote. What do you think of that, Doc?
I think that's spot on. St. Joseph's my primary patron saint. And, you know, we talk a lot about Mary on this show, and it's Journey with Mary, so rightfully so. But, I mean, Joseph's never quoted in the Bible, but I can just imagine the conversations between Joseph and Jesus. You know, because Joseph, I mean, Jesus came down, and granted, he was God, one and the same. But Joseph was the role model of righteous masculinity that Jesus emulated. So, I mean, just to be a fly on the wall when these conversations are going on would have been, you know, more than I could possibly ask for in my existence. But, yeah, I mean, it says, you know, the men should honor their wives, and the wives should be submissive to the men. Now, the feminist view says that, you know, their viewpoint of that is that the wife should be doormat to the men, and that's pushing that whole sexual battle. And my comment to that is there is no battle between the sexes. They complement each other. By the husband honoring the wife, that enables the wife to by being submissive to the men, she is elevating him to where he can bring God into the house and teach the masculinity to the future generations. One of the most important things that the wives do in this country is raise the next generation of leaders and teachers and family and next generations of men. And do we have women raising men? Do we have jaded women raising men? And right now we have seven generations of jaded women, and because the father was removed from the home. So I'm spot on with this. I think this is exactly what people need to hear.
Amen.
I thought you'd like that message.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So in 2002, Neil had an opportunity to go to Medjugorje with a group, but his wife needed to stay home. He felt a great sense of being homesick after he arrived in Medjugorje and wished that she had been able to come with him. Suddenly, he was calmed by this message, quote, "While you are here, and whatever I ask you to do from here on, you need to give it your best effort and all of yourself to others," unquote. Ooh, that gave me chills. Around 7 o'clock that night, in the last night there in Medjugorje, Neil and a few others decided to make one last trek on the long, rugged path up Cross Mountain, stopping at the various stations of the cross along the way. At the fourth station, where Jesus sees his mother, Neil suddenly was overwhelmed by a strong scent of roses. Quote, "so intense that you could almost taste them," unquote. Neil fell down on the large rocks as if unconscious, but suffered no cuts, bruises, or injuries, just like visionaries. He had an intense desire at that moment to be with Mary and Jesus in heaven. He said he felt like, quote, "a million bits of information were being dispersed all at once," kind of like a massive download of information into his head. Then he heard Blessed Mary say to him, quote, "I have much for you to do. Never waste a moment to serve God," unquote. Okay, I'm going to stop there. And I bet, Donald, you have a comment on that, having been to Medjugorje. What do you think of that?
Well, I've spent some time up there on Cross Mountain myself at night, definitely, and it looks beautiful, you know. And also that sense of flowers, you know, the smell of flowers, I've sensed that as well. And I sensed that at a Bible study that I was leading in Clarksville, Tennessee. And so that was just amazing. That experience, and I know you've had a similar experience as well, that of the smelling of roses and
And it was at Neil's apparitions that I smelled the roses in Perryville. I was there. So, yes, that's where I smelled them twice.
Yeah.
So,
and it is amazing.
Yeah, that is. And, you know, right
can
there,
I jump in real quick?
Sure.
Just an interesting side note. Me and my wife, when I met her at the first date I asked her to go out on, she agreed to go out on a date with me, but she had to postpone it because she had already bought plane tickets to go over to Medjugorje, and that's during the war and everything like that. And I said, "You do know they're killing people over there, right?" And she told me, "No, she'll be safe because she's going to be going up there to Medjugorje," and told me what that place was. That was my introduction to it.
How long ago was that?
Whenever the war was, we've been married 26 years, and when you're marrying into the Catholic Church, you know, you got to court for a year, and there's classes you got to go through to make sure the marriage is going to stick. So
sure.
About 28, 29 years ago.
Okay. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. So I just want to put that out there. We just had our 27th anniversary last October, so 28 is coming up, well, this month. So
okay.
All right. I got to get a gift. I carved a crucifix out of black walnut about 9 inches tall and gave that to her because of 27 years as a sculptor. I gave her that. It's kind of crude looking, but she liked it.
That's nice. I like that. So, again, what Neil experienced there was typical of many visionaries, where he suddenly was faint and fell down, fell hard but had no injuries, and went into some kind of ecstasy. And here's Mary telling him what she's going to have him be doing. So here's what happens next. He's back in Missouri in June of 2003. Neil was working in the fields when he again experienced a strong scent of roses, just typical with Mary, and felt that Blessed Mary was indeed nearby. She asked him to begin praying at the grotto. This is on the grounds of the National Shrine of the Miraculous Medal in Perryville. That's right. They have a National Shrine of the Miraculous Medal in Perryville, Missouri. And they have a grotto there, and she wants him to start praying at the grotto on the 13th of every month for the next 13 months. Very similar to Fatima, come on the 13th of every month. So the grotto that she was referring to, again, was on the grounds of that national shrine. And the Vicentian community of priests reside there, one of whom was Father Oscar Lucifer, a well-known writer of Catholic educational materials. The church, St. Mary's of the Barons, was founded in 1818. The shrine was built in 1929 to honor Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal. The grotto was built on the beautiful grounds by seminarians during World War I, with completion in 1920. The statue of Mary in a niche high in the rock wall of the grotto arrived on August 5th of that same year. So Neil began praying the rosary at the grotto for 3 weeks by himself. He placed some of her messages to him anonymously in the local paper, potentially for anyone's inspiration. After the 3 months, Mary asked him to bring 5 friends and stated that a television station would eventually be involved later on. Well, by June of 2004, Neil made it public about what was happening at the grotto. Sure enough, Channel 12 TV from Cape Girardeau, Missouri, appeared during December of 2004 to do a story about the events at the grotto for their 10 p.m. newscast. When that first 13 months had passed, Mary then indicated to Neil that she was pleased with the devotions and prayers taking place at the grotto, and asked him to keep coming on the 13th of every month indefinitely. Now, folks, he has been doing that the 13th of every month since 2003, going on 19 years without a miss, the 13th of every month. That is dedication.
How old is he?
He'd be in his, I think, 50s now.
50s.
Yeah, you might guess. Yeah. But, wow. So in June of 2013, 10 years later, Neil had never missed a month. And, of course, that's updated now. I haven't updated this in my notes, but... he has never missed a month. I will say Our Lady came to him and said that she was going to not come for a few months because they were actually renovating the grotto and she didn't want to be in the way. So she told Neil she would wait a few months and actually met somewhere else for those few months. But she still kept going. He continues to be faithful and devoted to her requests, never knowing if there will be an end point to it all. When asked if it's hard to keep this dedication going, he said, "Well, when the Mother of God asks you to do something, you feel compelled to listen."
You know, John,
certainly,
I spoke with him on the phone. I spoke with him on the phone, not realizing who I was talking to. It's just now dawning on me that I talked with him, and this was several years ago. This was when I was stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and I was talking to him, and I didn't know who he was or really his experience. All I heard was that he's having some mystical experiences, and I was sharing with him biblical and, you know, Catholic teaching and faith and things, and he was really like, it was interesting to him with what I was telling him and how it related to what he was experiencing, and it was really cool. So it's kind of interesting. I believe, as far as his heart, I could see why Our Lady would be happy with him. And speaking of this, you cannot give this story, tell this story, without giving the story about the woman who went into the hospital room and was doing the Divine Mercy for a Mason who was on his deathbed there.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
You want me to tell
that? You
got to
tell that story. Yeah, you bet.
Okay. Well, a friend of mine from Iowa, a very dedicated Catholic, has had Neil come up there and give some talks. And it's interesting because her husband's father was a Mason, and he was nearing death. He was on his deathbed. And her husband said, "Why don't you say the Divine Mercy Chaplet?" And, of course, she wasn't going to say it out too much out loud because his family was not Catholic and was not going to probably appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But they were trying to save him. And so, anyway, she quietly said the Divine Mercy Chaplet in his room where no one else could really hear it that clearly. And at the last word of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, he died. Now, when she got back to her house, there had been a little light snow, and her house is a really nice house, and it has a back deck that's two stories up, and there's no way to get to it from the ground. It opens from the living room, and you go out there on the deck, and that's the only way to it. Well, she's in her house, and all of a sudden there's this bang, 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 bang on that patio door, and there's no one else home. And she's freaking out, thinking, who is there? And then at the front door is just shaking and thundering with pounding on it. And she didn't know what to make of it, so she called her husband, who wasn't home yet, and he said, "I'll be right there." Don't leave. And so when he got there, they looked out the front door. There were no tracks in the snow. There was nothing leading up to the front door. And on the back deck, there were no tracks on the deck. But she knows she heard the pounding at both doors. And a priest told her, said, "You know that the devil was pissed off that you saved that man from going to hell." Where Neil comes into this, Neil's coming up there for a visit, and as he walks into her house, Neil says, "Oh, something happened here." And he looks around and says, "Was there a pounding at that back door?" And she goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Satan was trying to come in, wasn't he?" And she goes, I don't know, maybe." And he says, "Well, you don't have to worry. Saint Michael was standing behind you."
Wow. Yeah.
I love that story, though. I mean, I know her real amazing. Well, and she's got other stories with Neil as well, and so do I, actually. But Neil just knows things that people just couldn't know. And that was pretty amazing. So Neil describes Our Lady as coming to him in a vision surrounded by clouds and mist. He says she wears a long white gown with gold trim and a gold sash. There appear to be stars on her gown, but Neil says they are actually floating just above her dress and all around her. She has long, wavy brown hair with a gold crown on top of her head.
The crown appears to have dark green emeralds encircling it and 12 little crosses around the top of the crown, representing the 12 apostles. She has a blue mantle over her white gown. Neil feels disconnected from everything in the ecstasy and also disconnected from everyone else around him when she comes. Only see Mary. And that's so typical of visionaries. He did say that sometimes there are saints or angels with her, which is also typical with other visionaries. Neil states that when she comes, he can see her and know exactly where she is without looking around for her. He says, I don't know how heaven does that, but that's what I see. He says that she will often walk through the praying crowd, blessing them and hearing their thoughts. At times she will tell him, hey, a woman in the crowd is wondering about blah, 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 so tell her this. And Mary tells him what to tell the lady. And Mary told Neil this, quote, darkness has filled the earth. If the prayer of St. Gertrude is prayed between each decade in union with the rosary, 1,000 souls will be released from purgatory for each Hail Mary, unquote. I'm going to stop there for a second because I know you've got a comment on that, Donald.
Wow.
Donald?
Well, I do pray that.
Yeah.
I do pray the prayer of St. Gertrude when I pray the rosary. And so that is, and so that's a great idea to do that, to pray that prayer along with the Fatima prayer. And so that's a good
mm-hmm.
one. So I think that's great. When Our Lady tells you something like that, I guess it's pretty solid. It's very solid.
Yeah. Let me tell you, since he mentioned about that Mary would often walk through the crowd. Well, I was there on May 13th, 2013, and also again on October 13th that year. And at one point, I was watching Neil very closely to see when he'd go into ecstasy. And then I saw him stiffen up. And when he does, someone else takes over praying out loud on the microphone, and he goes into ecstasy. So I elbowed my Ruthie next to me and said, I think he's going into a trance. And she goes, shh. And I looked at her, and she was seeing a brilliant light behind the statue of Mary at that moment and didn't want me to interrupt her. And then later, it's interesting, I smelled roses on that occasion, and she smelled lilies. Now, after all the prayers, and Neil tells what the message was to the whole crowd, he says, and by the way, Joseph was with Mary today, and they walked over there, and he pointed in a path that read was right in front of where we were sitting. I mean, we were on the front row, and he said Mary and Joseph walked right there in front of us. I smelled roses. She smelled lilies. How about that?
Wow.
So, yeah, so beautiful. People have had some pretty interesting experiences at those apparition times. Comments?
It's quite amazing. Is he committed to this daily or just on that the 13th of every month?
13th? Yep,
13th
of every month.
Yeah. Yeah.
From 9 to 11.
What the number 13 means, because in our secular society, you know, Friday the 13th, 13th is an unlucky number, but you know, it seems to happen like in Fatima and whatnot. So do we understand the significance of the number 13?
Well, I've thought about that for years, and my best guess is 12 disciples plus Mary equals 13.
Roger that.
Now think of this too. But you said she smelled like what she thought was lilies. The lily flower represents joy, happiness, and gratitude. Its scent is uplifting, like warm sunshine. Well, I think that's what's interesting, and that's how we started off tonight with that song, I Got a Thankful Heart, and something that our Lord said to Lucia, as well as Our Lady, because of the ingratitude, blasphemy. And so
I think the lilies also represent Joseph.
Right. That's what Joseph carries are the lilies. So when she smelled lilies and I smelled roses, we were smelling the presence of Mary and Joseph. And that's what Neil said. They had walked right in front of us. And he didn't even know that we smelled anything yet.
You know, I want to circle back real quick, if we can, to that celestial download. I mean, just the amount. I mean, think about the information straight from God into your brain. Wow. What a rush, man.
Yeah.
That would be.
Yeah.
To be able to talk to the people that had to go through that, I envy you, John.
Yeah, he's an amazing person. And, you know, it's interesting because in my near-death heaven research, a lot of people, when they got to heaven, felt like a million bits of information got downloaded into their brains. It's like they suddenly understood everything all at once.
Right.
They had answers to questions before they even asked the questions. And so it's almost like Neil got a taste of that. Heaven opened up and opened his mind up. So,
I relate to that.
Very interesting.
I think that's what happens
clarity.
When a person when a person's in purgatory. I think that's exactly what happens. I believe that when they get on the other, and they're not damned, as long as they're not damned, if they're in purgatory, they get that infusion, if you will, of knowledge, and that's why there'll be only Catholics in heaven, because if they're in purgatory, they're going to be saved, and they get that infusion of knowledge. And the sadness, part of the sadness could be that they had opportunities of grace that they did not receive because they didn't know about the sacraments.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing that they don't receive the sacraments there in purgatory. You can only do that here. So
one other thing that happened there at the apparition site was some captured fascinating photos of the sun with doves, crosses, and even rose petals appearing in the photographs. And I've seen some of those. It's a pretty interesting little supernatural twist with the sunlight. So Perryville's in the Diocese of St. Louis. The Archbishop and area priests are aware of Neil, and they're accepting of the activities going on there, but they have neither condemned nor officially approved of them at this point in time. I heard that he's on that list now with the International Marian Research Institute, that list of 2,700 apparitions. He's on it, from what I heard. So he's at least made that level of recognition. Let's see. Well, next week we're going to cover the messages that some of the messages he received and some other aspects. But we're getting close to the end of our time. And I will say, anybody, you know, could experience this. You just remember it's the 13th of every month, 9 a.m. in the grotto on the grounds of the National Shrine of the Miraculous Medal in Perryville, Missouri. And I've had people hear that, go there, and come back and say, wow, they just loved it. So it's becoming a nice little place for these things to happen. Hey, I'll tell one other story real quick, how Neil knew something he couldn't have known. Donald, you remember when Father Tom Sullivan would give us little vials of Padre Pio blessed oil.
Yeah.
Would do, you know, and he would, this oil had been touched to sacred objects of Padre Pio's. And I had gotten some because my Ruthie has a nerve muscle disease, and so we were trying to help her with saying prayers and using the blessed oil. And so we'd been doing that faithfully every week for a number of months, and then we got distracted, got off our routine, and didn't do it for several months. Well, she and I had met Neil before, and Neil told her, you know, Padre Pio's connected with you. And she goes, well, I like him. That's good to know. This is before we got the oil. So we saw him, we saw Neil at the St. Louis Marian Conference a couple of years later, and he looked at us and he goes, I remember you guys. And he looked at Ruthie and she goes, and he says, you're the one connected with Padre Pio. And she goes, yes. And she said, and then he said, well, he wants to know why you haven't used the oil for several months.
Wow.
And we just kind of fell over. Like, wait a minute, he didn't even know we had blessed oil. Neil didn't even know we were using blessed oil.
You're right on that.
Oh, my Lord. And I remember telling Father Tom Sullivan that, and he goes, oh, my gosh, tell me that again. Tell me that again, because he's the one handing out this Padre Pio oil for years, and now Padre Pio is saying, hey, how come you aren't using it for the last few months?
That's cool.
Isn't that cool?
Wow. Very
that's,
cool.
Cool.
That's the kind of things that Neil just knows that there's no way he should be able to know, and yet he just does know things. So that was cool. Mm. All right.
But you know, we
really
see that,
comment?
You know, St. Joan of Arc, St. Joan of Arc, that was one of the, when the Dauphin, that was evidence that she was able to tell him that the things that only he would know, but you know, the Lord was giving or sharing with her to prove to him that she was God's chosen one to help them liberate France from England. That's interesting though.
Mm-hmm.
That very thing.
Yes,
you
indeed.
Know, that would be kind
yeah.
of yeah, that would be something
hey,
to
you know
have
what?
Somebody come and tell you stuff like that that nobody could have possibly known. But, you know, that's interesting. But God does. God knows. No secret comes.
Hey,
you cannot fool the Lord.
No. Uh-uh. Hey, you know what? I looked ahead here, and there's only a few messages. It only takes about 5 minutes. So instead of waiting until next week, I think we can go a little bit longer, can't we, Donald?
We can go to, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, probably 5-10 minutes here. Here's the first message on, well, the day I was there, May 13th, 2013. Mary said, quote, our world is full of much darkness. It seems that evil is prevailing. My people, for those who are faithful to God, hold true to his word. Those who are devoted to my Immaculate Heart, St. Joseph's most chaste heart and Jesus's most sacred heart, you will prevail in everything. Evil will not succumb you. We must remain true to God in all things, living our everyday life for God. You are to be that torch of light to others in a world of darkness. You have nothing to fear if you keep your eyes on Christ at all times. You are to reflect the Holy Family. I'm calling on all of you to carry that torch of Christ's light to the whole world. So that was
yes.
the message that day. Here's another one I'll read real quick from another time. Quote, so many
and we
of
all,
wonder what
we all need to acknowledge that comment. You know, we all belong being in the light and in this dark world.
Yes. Oh, I hear that. I agree. So then she
well, you
says,
know,
quote, so, go ahead.
Well, just last night it was, in fact, In fact, yesterday I wrote the article that I put together. I put out about what Mary said 400 years ago in Ecuador, and I wrote that out, and I presented it last night on radio. And I called John up yesterday and told him what I was doing, and then he told me that he was speaking at a church not too far from St. Louis where he spoke about this himself. And it's just interesting how he didn't know what I was doing and I didn't know what he was doing, and yet we both had the same idea or something very connected there.
Yeah.
And here you are.
Well, our torches were shining. That's for sure.
Yeah. So.
And that was our powerful, by the way. If you read that article that I put together, and John and I have done several shows on that very subject about Mary's 400-year prophecies going back to the 16th century. I mean, going from Ecuador. We did that in 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, and 2022. I mean, we've done this a lot. Wow.
And still people haven't heard it. When I asked the crowd, had they heard this before, not a single hand went up in that crowd of 60 people. So... you know, it's still worth it to repeat it that often. So here's Mary's final message to Neil. I mean, there's one every month. I'm not going to read them all, obviously. She said, "So many wonder what tomorrow may bring. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You just need to live in the present of each and every day. Never deny Jesus." Amen, right. "Men, devote yourselves to Saint Joseph. He was obedient to God in all things. Learn this obedience so that you can be good priests of your home, your households. As a good mother, I come here each and every month to encourage you, to guide you in wisdom and truth. Learn the true faith of the church. God will never fail you. God is in control of all things, and he knows all things. He sees the hearts and minds and souls of all of you. God sees good here. If you saw what your prayers are doing and the power of your prayers, you would never cease praying." Amen to that. Beautiful.
Where in Missouri is this?
Perryville, an hour south of St. Louis, just off 55, Interstate 55. Heading south from St. Louis, about an hour south.
That's probably about 5-6 hours from where I'm at.
Probably.
Can you send me the address?
You get an opportunity. Go there.
Send me the address.
One day, someday.
Well, I'm thinking about taking the whole family.
Well, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I could plan it. It'd be a surprise for them. So I'm getting the car.
Well, let's go. You can Google on your computer National Shrine of Miraculous Metal, Perryville, Missouri, and that will tell you how to get there and the address and everything. National Shrine of the Miraculous Metal.
You look something up on the computer. I mean, that sounds easy, but I'm not the guy for that, unfortunately. It takes a man to admit his limitations. And that's one of mine. But if one of y'all could text me the address, I can plug it into the GPS, and I got it from there.
There you go. All right. Well, it's time for our worldwide Hail Mary. So everyone out there listening, please join with me, because we want all our voices to rise in unison to go up to heaven and have heaven smile, knowing that they heard the whole world, voices from all around the world at once, saying a Hail Mary together. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And next week we will be going to San Damiano, Italy, going back to 1961, Our Lady of Roses in San Damiano, Italy. We'll go there next week. All right. Donald, back to you. Thank you, Joseph.
Wow. Well, I tell you, this. I mean, I love, and you know, when we're looking at this, whenever we see anything or hear about any of these things, we know, I mean, the Bible and the church, that is. But we are given, you know, these it says in Acts chapter 2, 17 through 19, that in the last times it would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, indeed the handmaids of the Lord shall prophesy. And he would perform wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And so, and 1 John chapter 4, verses 1, it says that if, you know, if someone comes to you with about the supernatural, we are to test the spirit. What is the gauge that we use to test that spirit with? The Catholic Church. And that's why whenever we're talking about these things, we always look for that either the approval, and that is something that is important, that we follow what the church is giving us. And this is something that is good. This is something that is good. So, and like John, you said that the bishops, and you know, they're aware of it. They're you know, they've not condemned it, which is important. Because if they condemn something like that, then that would be a big deal. But if
they see some fruits to it, because people are going there and praying and having good experiences, so they don't see any harm. They don't see anything that's contrary to the church or contrary to church beliefs. So, you know, they're just kind of like watching and seeing what all happens there.
You know, I want to make a observation here. I'm in my living room, and in my living room are many religious items, many, of which two pure silver Marys, one a plaque of her holding baby Jesus, and one a full statue of with her arms spread out. And I have a nativity set that has 60 figurines and meaning people of different sorts, Holy Family, and then there's, you know, many, I think there's like 35 animals. It's a huge nativity set, and I keep it up all year long, and then I add ornaments to it during Christmas. And you know, it has some alpine trees around it, big ones, you know, a couple feet tall, and you know, it's impressive. It's
cool.
a lot of years of collecting it, and you know, and on that, you know, there it was Mary, and Jesus, for that matter, and Joseph. It starts with, there's the journey, Mary on the donkey with Joseph. There's of course the regular nativity, the birth. There's Mary, it has the crucifixion. There's Mary at the crucifixion. And then there's Mary standing holding baby Jesus. And quite often when I come in here, and you know, you say flower, but I smell a major sweetness that I don't necessarily want to say flower, but it's just a beautiful, sweet smell. I just look sometimes, where is that coming from? And now you're making me think, you know, it's all this, you know, and, you know, especially with so many Marys, yeah.
The saints had a name for that. They smelled it often too, a sweet flower-like smell. And it was called the odor of sanctity. That's what they called it.
I think you got it.
Speaking about sanctity, Joseph, where about are you now on your number? Are you 1111? Are you more than that now?
Oh, yeah. I'm at I think it's 1125. I've had a rough couple weeks. I had the most horrible experience, and it ended with some goodness, thank God, and completely, thank God, Holy Spirit, everybody for guiding me. Five black girls targeted. These girls are all 16 or 17. Targeted five extremely geeky 16-year-old white boys to have sex with them, and you know, each one targeted a different boy, you know, and hey, I like you, let's have sex, and let's have sex, and let's have sex, until they got pregnant. The average about 3-week period, and thank God one never got pregnant. And this one boy calls me, you know, two, not just to get pregnant, but to also have an abortion. Demonic, evil, insane, stupid, you know, and I used all those words to them, and they got mad at me. But I end up meeting with all of them, and then with parents. And I said, thank God one never got pregnant. And I still met with that boy and girl and said, this ends now. And the boys are so geeky to the fact that, you mean she really didn't like me? No, she didn't really like you, you know. And possibly she likes you now, but she didn't like you, you know. And three of them for sure are now having the baby. The one is on the fence still, but thank God three of them are having the babies, and the parents all involved and heartbroken and you know, can't, no one understands. Nobody understands. What were you girls thinking? And again, I say evil, you know, that to want to. And then after this, after I go through this for 3 days, in 3 days I had 9 restaurant meetings with them. It cost me a small fortune, and I'm really hurting financially. I'm struggling in general, and now it's worse because of that. And then I got pretty sick. And a lot of people are like, yeah, I think Satan attacked you on that one. You know, you ruined his plans yet again, you know. So then I got sick, and so I've been laid up for a few days, but I'm just now getting better. Really crazy story, and tough to talk to all these kids and you know, the evil and the brokenness of what somebody will do to their lives to cause havoc. It's pretty sad.
That is amazing.
Well,
yeah, well, thank God, you know, God, you know, the Holy Spirit and everything, you know, gives me the wisdom to say whatever I say, and trust me, I want to come home and knock my head against a brick wall every day during those few days. It was just horrible. And that's the fourth time. It's the fourth time I've experienced this, you know. And so that it's really crazy. Yeah. But that's what the evil world. That's what's happening in this world. You know, Satan is running rampant and trying to cause as much harm as they can. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of damage to their souls.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Wow.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. All right. Well, it's that time, guys.
God bless everybody.
All right. Well, we'll see you tomorrow night. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Without him, we can do nothing.
Yeah.